GAA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GAA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.
Well, when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Welcome to the GAA Hour on a Monday. Myself and Conan are here as usual, and hello to all our YouTube viewers. That's my new thing, Conan.
I heard it.
In case you're wondering. I haven't spoken to you. Like, I mean, you weren't in Thursday, but Thursday's show was before the championship draw. Me and Conan were complaining about it, which is usual. But let's be fair, the only thing to get half interested in was the Ulster Championship, and it didn't disappoint.
Well, this is interesting, because I listened to Thursday show and I turned it off after I heard you having a little pop at Ulster Championship.
Yeah, but it's sensational. So Derry, Tyrone, Monaghan versus Cavan. I have Monaghan versus Clifford down in my notes. Believe that, David. Thanks for telling me. And down in Armagh. So three of the biggest derbies in Ulster we can look forward to. And Donegal, Fermanagh have their own little rivalry thing going on.
Yeah.
We did a show up there before the Ulster final. So, like, they couldn't have handpicked a better Ulster draw. I'm not getting overly excited about it, but that is as good as it could potentially ever be.
Yeah, and the good thing is they have sort of divided, like, you know, the teams, Monaghan, Tyrone, sort of stronger teams, Donegal and Down, or they're on the other side of the draw as well, whereas normally there's always one really strong half and one good half if you're a Derry. You can get through, but now it's very evenly at both sides, so it could end up being a cracking semi-final and final as well.
Yeah.
This is the Ulster Championship, Willie. This is what happens.
Yeah, well, that's it. This is the magic of Ulster. And it's in the Leinster Championship. Leash will be delighted. Meath will be delighted. Offaly will be delighted. Westmeath will be delighted. And am I missing one more? I think I am, but it's not jumping into my mind. They're all on the other side of the Dublin draw. Kildare, unfortunately, let's be honest, neutrals would like to see. I'm not a neutral, but at the same time, I know what will happen at least if they get to a Leinster final. What's the point of that? So you'd prefer nearly to see Kildare and Dublin. I'll be shot at home for that. But, like, I mean, let's, if you want the Leinster Championship to stop being so crap, you'd hope Kildare would be the only team that could put it up to Dublin.
It is a way to round four of the qualifiers, though, isn't it? Right, if you get to the
That's true. But it is hard to watch your team being beaten by 20 points in a final, because no matter what way it is, you're excited about the final. And then to see that, it's just, you're just driving home after that going, what's the point? What's the point of that? They're not good enough to be playing Dublin. Emlyn Mulligan was very honest. He was there. I didn't see the draw myself. I just said, what's the point? I'll just see the screenshots of the actual draw. And Emlyn Mulligan was saying they were drawn against Roscommon. Galway and Mayo are drawn apart. And he was saying, it's very hard to motivate yourself. Since I started playing Sligo, the only team bar London and New York that we've ever beaten. That's why I was so anxious to get them. It doesn't get any easier. So, look, Emlyn has been on the show this year and he's very honest about it. And he's a campaigner for a two-tier competition, and that's going to come in, and Emlyn Mulligan might win a few championship matches, and Emlyn Mulligan might finally play in Croke Park. How can anybody be against that?
Yeah, like I remember Emlyn Mulligan's interview. It was brilliant, and it was shocking to hear that they hadn't played at Croke Park, and that is madness. Interestingly, though, I remember listening to his interview there on Thursday, and I was sort of thinking, like, I'm from Derry, you know, Division 4 team. We're playing Tyrone. I would have rather not gotten Tyrone, even though it's a big derby. But we had Tyrone 2 of the last 3 years and got hammered by them. So it's a shame, and we know we're going to lose that game. But as a Derry man, you're not thinking, split the championship and give us an easier draw. You're thinking, just get better. Get a better team. This is our fault. You're thinking, it's more sort of self-reflection. It's like, if we want to compete with Tyrone, we need to get better. So I'm not sort of calling to change the championship. And then again, the Monaghan example is always thrown out there as well, of course. Do you know how well they're doing with their small county? Do you know, like, as a Derry man again, you look at Monaghan and be like, why can't we just go and do that? Go get a better team. And they have started that in Derry over the last few years, going back into the underage and stuff.
Can't believe you've twisted this show to give us a full analysis of Derry football here at the start of a show. We're going to get on to a club roundup very soon. The other bit of news there this morning is Kieran Byrne and Killian McDade. So Louds Kieran Byrne and Galway's Killian McDade have both left the AFL. So they've retired from AFL and they're back. So McDade's 22. Byrne is a little bit older. He's played 22 games for Carlton. He's back, will improve Loud an awful lot. Killy McDade, I'd argue and say exactly what Galway need is a fast attacking wing back, maybe for the game plan that they have, but how long is that game plan going to last with the new rules? Anyways, he's back. It just goes to show, when you see all these players coming back, you just kind of appreciate the Zach Tuohys of this world and the fellas who are able to stay out there for that long. When you take the homesickness into account, and you take the massive competition out there and not being used to the oval ball and all these things, the fellas, there are very few of them to stay out there long term, but you'd have to appreciate how difficult it is. Another bit of a blow for you is Anthony Toholl's son. His name is Anton Toholl. So I always wonder about calling your son your own name. It's a bit of a weird one. Is it an ego thing? Is it? I just couldn't imagine my own son being called my name. It just doesn't feel right. I don't get it. But anyways, so Anthony, a little bit of kind of called him Anton. So yeah. Like, I don't know what he was doing there. So it's not really Anthony, but it's the similar thing. Anyways, he signed a 2-year contract with Collingwood. So he is 198 centimetres, which is 6'5", just about 6'5". So this fella is an absolute beast of a man. He's only 17, so he's gone already. So I don't know, were you looking forward to seeing him, Conan? Is this a big blow for Derry football?
Taller than his dad.
Taller than his father, yeah.
Obviously, it's disappointing. It's always disappointing when you lose a player. Obviously, good luck to him. But, he's an interesting one because he didn't play any minor football for Derry.
What?
Yeah, but then as a 17-year-old... he's in the under-20 panel. The under-20 panel that won the Ulster Championship this year. He didn't really feature for them that
so
much.
So he actually was unlucky that he missed out with the minor going to under-17.
Yeah, but you're thinking somebody who played AFL would be first-year minor, you know, making the team as an under-18, as an under-17.
Yeah, should be. You wonder where they saw him then. Where did it come across
maybe
him?
It's Anthony Toholl. Obviously, he went out there before. Obviously, he's managed Ireland. Famous athlete. Like, he's a big lad. He's a great fetcher. You know, so
well, there you go.
Saw that. Yeah. Maybe it was trials, but like Conor Glass is still the big one for Derry. He's done really well at Hawthorn. Like he was Derry's best player coming through at club and county level. So he's the one that was really like, ah, for God's sake, bring him back. Anton Toholl is just one of those ones where people are like, oh, good luck to him. That's a great opportunity.
But there's nobody's going, oh no, it's not like Peter Canavan's son in Tyrone.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not to be harsh to him or anything like that, but it is like Eamon Donoghue did a great piece, your man Eamon Donoghue, in the Irish Times, but it was like 24 players have actually made an appearance in the AFL. 28 of them have never made an appearance. Yeah. So that's the stat you're looking at as well. Obviously, it's always tough in any professional.
They usually come back, basically, is what we're going to say. Right, club roundup. Because I was thinking of just getting straight into the club. The last few weeks, we have been doing a bit of news before it. Because, let's be honest, club roundup is what it's all about now on a Monday. So St. Jude's, our favourite Dublin club, the Culchie Club. It's a team of Culchies with a few Dubs thrown into the mix. So we've been through this with Niall Coakley. He got three yesterday, two from play, I'm pretty sure. So they hammered St. Vincent's, really. 2-11 to 8 points. Incredible achievement by St. Jude, who beat Ballymun the round before. And like, they really hope, and I have great time for Kilmacud Crokes as a club, but I really hope Jude's can do it now. Because imagine beating Ballymun and Vincent's, like, by the two best teams in Dublin, and then not getting over the line. So they have to. Vincent's went 4-0 up, which is incredible stuff. So Vincent's went 4-0 up. So then Jude's beat them 2-11 to 4 points for the remainder of the game. This is St. Vincent's going for 3 in a row, arguably one of the best club sides ever. Two All-Ireland clubs, well, one All-Ireland club with this team, but it's and then following up the year after with another Leinster. They've just been a dominating team in Dublin and in Leinster when they go into it. And now they've been beaten by Rathnew last year, and they've been knocked out of the Dublin Championship by St. Jude. So I don't know, maybe it would be a breakup of this team, who knows. But the big talking point coming out of this game is that Dermot Connolly didn't start and Enda Varley didn't start. Now, I can't comprehend that. I heard Connolly wasn't training. You have to wonder, why was Connolly not training? Because, like, I mean, he came home from America, and like, I always think, like, he came back and for the last group game against Lucan Sarsfields, and he was in the crowd. He didn't even tug out. He was just back. And I remember joking on the podcast with you, what their manager needs to do now is organise a challenge game midweek, bring Dermot on so he served his time on the bench, and then get him in for Castleknock. Started on the bench for Castleknock. Now, I don't know, was he not training before Castleknock or not? But, like, I mean, I just don't get it. This, everything Connolly has done for for Vincent's. Now we're talking was it 2-8 or 2-10 in an All-Ireland club final? Like, I mean, he consistently captained them. He's a club man. Like, he's a big Vincent's man. It's not like he doesn't care about his club. Yeah. Like, Connolly's gone through a horrible year. Like, you won't get an interview off Connolly to ask him about this, but I'd say he went through torture in America, because I've gone to America when I've dropped off Laois panels and Laois have made maybe an All-Ireland quarter-final or last 16, and you're looking at that and you're in an awful state, torn about, Jesus, this is terrible, I'm missing this. They're in a Leinster final against Dublin. So he's gone through all that. Dublin have won the All-Ireland to really hurt him. That he will be hurt over that, because he's a big Dublin man as well. Then he comes home for his club. Instead of his club rallying around him and making sure he's all right and, you know, getting him back in, don't worry, Dermot, we'll get you back in straight away. You've never let us down. They don't start him against Castleknock. Now, I'm trying to kind of wonder, is this why he hadn't been showing up training since the Castleknock game? Or, you know, or maybe he's a bit put out. Because I know I would be put out, that your club is not like Jim Gavin's Dublin. You don't have to do that with your club. Your club looks after you. Your club rallies around your county men and supports them. And if they don't understand that Dermot Connolly went to America because he got a huge offer, number one, and number two, because it would probably be better being in America when he wasn't on Dublin panel. If they can't understand that and then welcome him back and get him back in and tell him how important he is. Yeah. And I can't comprehend that. If club football has gone like that, the county stars now have to serve their time coming back in as a sub. There's no one on the Vincent's team would say one word.
No.
If Dermot Connolly's coming back in onto that team.
And like, I know Vincent's is a massive club, but every single club in Ireland, like, they have these players who have served their time. You know, they've given their 15 years, whatever it is. Connolly's probably been playing since he was no age with the senior team. Never mind playing hurling as well. They've given so much to the club that they have these, not a free pass, but they have a bit of leeway, like, to miss training, especially when you get a bit older, to go away, do a bit of travelling. Like, you know, but when they come back in, it's like they've got enough money in the bank and nobody's going to sort of say, here, what's he doing?
And like, I even joked about the challenge game, just to keep those lads kind of quiet, if there is one or two, you know, let him get serve his time in that game, but he comes straight back into a championship match.
And that's what the manager should be looking to do, as a football person. But like, it's weird, like you said about, they should be rallying around him, and especially with this year, because like, it has been a really tough year for him, like, personally. And he had to go, he couldn't stay in Dublin and not play for Dublin.
No,
because
that would have been torturous. Yeah. It would have been worse.
We're saying he's the best footballer in Ireland and he's not even playing with Dublin, so how could he be going around here every day? Like, and back in April when he was off the panel, and then, you know, it seemed like, was he going to play for Vincent's or not? They named him at number 11 for the championship games, and to me, like, he didn't play, but to me that was them sort of giving him every opportunity, and it looked like, you know, they were sort of still supporting him, and if he's going to be here, we'll play him. But obviously he didn't play back then, but that seemed like they were behind him then.
Yeah.
Why this? Like, and then calling on him when they do need him.
At half time.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, actually, you know, you're all forgiven now.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
We need you now. And Varley came on. The word I heard was that Connolly hadn't been training and Varley's form wasn't great. But like, I mean, I don't know, like, I mean, if Varley's still a top class club player and has been for Vincent since he started. So it's very unusual. It's absolutely very unusual and disappointing. I remember, I think it might have been back in 2000 or 2001, I went to America for the summer and I spent 5 summers out there. So Port Laois always used to, when you come back, you'd be back in time to train and you play. And then this one time, they didn't start me in a county semi-final when I came back. And another fella that had been out in America during the summer did start. So I was fuming. I was like, they were trying to make a statement. And as it turned out, it was the management team that I ended up falling out with in 2011. This is back 10 years previously, having these issues with me. You know what I mean? With me, like, I mean, and I came on at half time again when they needed me and ended up playing well and did well in the final. But like, I just like, why would you have to do that? None of the players would have cared. I was back and they've started another fella. So Shane Carty, same thing with Vincent's. He'd been in America and he started. So it's not the America thing. Maybe it's the training thing, but maybe the training thing was a knock on from not starting against Castleknock. You know what I mean? I've been a bit annoyed about that. But again, we need to get complete confirmation
on
that.
See, this training thing though, like, I know we have to have standards and you have to draw a line somewhat, but like, for example, we had boys away in America this year with scaries and we couldn't wait to get them back. And
yeah.
Me especially, but I'm probably one of the ones who'd be a bit more at risk when they're coming back. Like, I could lose a place to one of these boys because they're all great players.
Yeah.
We've been talking about them coming back, but the way I look at it is, if they come back from America and I'm still not ahead of them in the team, that's my fault. I've had a whole summer of games to try and, you know, to try and get my way up the pecking order. Yeah. Like, and if they come back, no matter what they're doing, training wise or anything, if they're still a better option, then I can only look at myself from that point of view.
Yeah.
So I don't think any player having an issue with Dermot Connolly in this case being better at him.
But Vincent's are a weird one. I tried to do something with them for Sports Show Live. It was some sort of kind of joke video, like it was a cornerback challenge, something I was throwing around at the time, and I was told, no, we're not doing any media now. This is before an All-Ireland semi-final, so they've media bans. So, like, I mean, and Vincent's have the idea in their head that they're an inter-county team and applying the same set of standards to a club team, and I think that's a sad day for club football if you're going down the road of inter-county, because club football is the only pure thing we have left, and if you miss a training session, so be it, you'll be back the next day. If you're a bit out of shape, you might play full forward and swing them over because you're that good. We can't lose that. If that has to go down to intermediate level then, and club football becomes the old intercounty football, I don't know what kind of, I don't know what we're going to have. But anyway, so, like, I mean, we'll try and find out a bit more about that before Thursday show. I was in Amore Park yesterday. Portlaoise won. They're 11th out of 12. They obviously beaten for the 10 in a row, came back, won the 10th, now won the 11th. So they're continuing on the domination. It was a really weird scene. It was a great first half, actually. O'Dempsey's battled really well, stayed in the game, some great scores. It was like 1-10 to 1-8 at half time. So, like, I mean, there was loads of scores, really enjoyable. Second half wasn't as good. Portlaoise were always in control. I think when you have a contest, it's much more enjoyable than when it's a foregone conclusion. That's even me as a Portlaoise man. I just enjoyed the game. Second half, Portlaoise had it won. But, like, I mean, the final whistle went. You wouldn't believe this. Like, Paul Cahillan, I was looking at the Portlaoise players. Paul Cahillan put his hands over his head and celebrated. Now, he was captain, and that would have been his first time to captain. So he'd have his own kind of mini celebration going on there. Every other Portlaoise player just shook their man's hand and then walked. There was no one, you know, when you jumped into someone's arms. Yeah. Or, none of that, like. And the crowd just went silent, because the most of the crowd would have been from O'Dempsey's, because Portlaoise are really badly supported. It's just bizarre scenes at the end of a county final. And, like, I mean, again, I keep saying it, it's fantastic achievement from Portlaoise, but it does them no good for me, and there's no excitement around it. And then we've Colm Spillane coming up on the show, and he plays for Imokilly, and they have 19 clubs. They're a divisional team. We see it working well. East Kerry favourites to win, win Kerry. So East Kerry now will replay against Dingle, and then they'll probably play Dr. Crokes in the final, and that's a huge match for Dr. Crokes. So Dr. Crokes are benefiting from this, and I think Laois really should learn from that. A lot of people talking about splitting Portlaoise in two, and that's going to be really, really expensive and difficult, because the GAA is going to have to foot the cost of a brand new club, brand new ground, brand new everything. Like, if they want to do that, that's fine. But a shorter term solution is for intermediate and junior clubs in Laois to go regional, north, south, east and west, and, like, I mean, have proper divisional teams would really improve it. I don't know why they don't do that.
It doesn't sound like too many people in Portlaoise would object to it either,
as a Portlaoise supporter, I would love that.
Yeah.
Like, you'd actually have proper county finals again.
And then
earn a win.
Because I heard you send this morning, so I went on and looked at, you know, some of the pictures, and you're expecting the sort of on-the-shoulder shot and, like, a big crowd behind him and, you know, pitch invasion, and there was nothing. I think there was one or two guys just with their fist pumped.
Yeah.
And then I just thought, maybe they've had their fingers burned enough times in Leinster that they're looking ahead at that, and they can't get carried away, which is bad.
Yeah, no, they'll celebrate it. But, like, at the end of the day, if you're winning by 8-9 points with 5 minutes to go, you know you have the game won. You've won 11 of the last 12. So there's no initial excitement at the final whistle. Like, they'll celebrate it. They'll go out last night and they'll be out all day today and properly enjoy it. But at the same time, it's just not that feeling of, geez, we were up against it there. We won against the odds. That's just, like, that's proper kind of county final celebration stuff. But Portlaoise have a really tough Leinster draw, because whether you like it or not, Portlaoise's season starts now, and they haven't been good enough in Leinster over the last 8-9 years, and they play the Kildare Westmeath champions next in the quarter final, and then they have the Dublin champions in the semi final. So they're going to have to do it the hard way. But realistically, Portlaoise's season will not be seen as a success unless they can win the Leinster. Because, you know, they've won most Leinsters in Leinster, and they've dominated Laois enough that two Leinsters isn't good enough since 2004. That's a completely new team now since 2004. You'd actually say this is a completely new team now since 2009 when they won it. But anyways, Road, probably similar situation in Offaly, hammered St Finbarr's. Road have been dominating Offaly for a long time. In Down, I'm sure we saw loads of celebrations when Burren stopped Kilcoo doing 7 in a row. Now, there's some proper celebrations. So Burren won it last in 2011. Paddy O'Rourke is their manager, Burren's manager, and our very own Stevie McDonnell, who I saw a picture on Instagram with a cup this morning. This is how half asleep I was. I says, what cup was that now? Is that Kalevi winning something? And I didn't put two and two together. And said, oh yeah, Stevie's actually with Burren. Burren beat Kilcoo, obviously. And Kilcoo had a good few injuries. Ryan Johnson only came off the bench. So they were probably down. But it doesn't matter. Burren won it and stopped Kilcoo doing 7 in a row. And that's like, I'd say there hasn't been a cow milked in the Burren since last night.
Well, Burren are like a massive club, like sort of reputation-wise as well. I was surprised that TG Cahir weren't showing that game. Now, like the Roscommon one, the championship has been really competitive all year. The game turned out to be class as well. But yeah, that was a big game that I thought, geez, like someone could go down here. And Donal Harris scored 2-5.
2-4, was it? 2-5? Oh, 2-5, yeah. 1-3 from player, 1-4 from play. 1-4 from freeze.
4 from a penalty and 3 from freeze.
1-1 from play, sorry.
And then the keeper, Callum Murdoch, got 4 long-range frees as well. Like, you know, so right. There would have been lots to sort of keep you entertained in that, and there would have been a bit of bite. These two clubs, you know, don't get on well. They are the two down clubs. Yeah. Like, you know.
It's difficult one these days for TG4 to have to pick two games out of...
TG what?
TG Cahir picked two games. I think there was 14 games or something on yesterday, so it's not it's not an easy choice for them. Mullina Hochta, this is a gas one because we've paid a bit of attention to this one. Abby Lara, obviously it was 6-6 last week. Abby Lara get a goal after 2 minutes, right? So they're in the mix. Robbie Smith is starting this week. So Abby Lara, they've lost the 3 of the last 3 finals and drawn one last week, and to get a goal now in this replay to really kick on. 2-14 to 1-2 was the final score. Mullina Hochta hammered them. It was bizarre. Mullina Hochta win 3 in a row. So, like, I mean, they won 2-14 to 1-2, and that's after Abby Lara getting an early goal, and they only got 1 point from play. That was for Robbie Smith in the entire game. So, like, I mean, that's just a complete collapse. So now they've lost the four last county titles. They've lost 4 and drawn 1 of the last 4, which is just terrible record for Abby Lara.
They got the goal and thought half the work was done. We're halfway to 6 points here.
yeah. Psychologically, Jesus, a goal would have won last week's game. So
59 minutes to get another 3 points. We should be all right.
Dunboyne won Meath. So Stuart Lowndes scored a goal that pretty much decided the game. Stuart Lowndes is Eric Lowndes' older brother. So he scored a goal in the 55th minute, which really turned a 1 point lead into 4, and that was the end of it. So that's Sean Boylan's club. So nice pictures of Sean Boylan holding the cup out in the field afterwards. And if Sean Boylan holding the county cup on the field doesn't warm your cockles, well then I don't know what will.
He's some man. I remember talking to him ages ago when he was like, Dunboyne, best place on earth. First time I've ever heard that sentence, believe it or not.
But David Gallagher, right? So you might remember, because David Gallagher has played for Meath and played for the International Rules. Now, he played for the International Rules as it was a very surprising choice, but Sean Boylan was the manager. So now you're starting to put two and two together. So Gallagher plays outfield for his club. So they've won it 3 times, and he's been on all 3. First one was 1998. I think the second one was 2004-05, and then this year. So David Gallagher's been on all 3 teams, so he's been around a while. He must be in around similar age to myself. So I thought that was interesting, that obviously Sean Boylan knows he's a really good goalkeeper for Meath. He's played for Meath, but he plays outfield for his club, so he's almost a perfect International Rules goalkeeper. So that's obviously Sean Boylan's kind of club loyalty decision kind of being explained there. Their captain, Cottle Finn, mentioned Sean Cox in his speech, you know, the Liverpool supporter. So he was a club official, and he gave him a mention in his speech, which was nice to see Dunboyne winning that. In Wexford, now I have to get the pronunciation of these two clubs right, because I've been tortured on Twitter about this since last Thursday. So Killinaron, right, so that's easy. That's Matty Ford's club. So they were winning this one by 3 points with 3 minutes to go. And Simon Donoghue, who you would know as our hurling correspondent, Wexford cornerback, he stepped up and kicked 2 scores late on. To earn a draw for Shell Maliers, yeah. So that's it. That's in the Wexford Championship final. So we'll talk about, in performance of the week, Matty Ford.
He scored
1-6. I thought, honestly, I would have got Matty on the show. We've Colm Spillane coming up, but I thought Matty's forwards back was in such a state that he couldn't get out of bed. I can't believe he's playing. He's 39. So we'll hold off this for performance of the weekend talking about Matty Ford. So there's going to be a replay next weekend in that one. So like loads of drama. Simon Donoghue scoring 2 points late, the hurler, which is great. There was an unbelievable game in the Cork football semi-final. So the Dublin semi-finals were on, Kerry semi-finals were on. East Kerry drew with Dingle. We'll talk about that a bit in performance of the weekend, because Clifford was there. Crokes beat Cairns O'Ratleys in Mayo. Ballintubber beat Castlebar Mitchells after a replay. In Cork, this one ended Castlehaven 118, Duhallow 215. So this was the second, this is going to a second replay now, because this was a replay already of the first game. So Duhallow got a late goal from Dara Moynihan and a point from a fella called Vaughan to get the scores level at 114 apiece. So they got 1-1 late on in normal time for it to go 114 apiece. So then Castlehaven went on ahead again, only for Duhallow to get another goal at the end of extra time to get it back to a draw again. So seriously dramatic scenes in this one. So it's going to a second replay. Duhallow have the likes of Aidan Walsh and Donoghue O'Connor. They're an area team as well, so they have a load of different players from different clubs. And again, there you are, Castlehaven, a really big club, getting an unbelievable test. So instead of just having a county championship with one or two big teams, why not have the one or two of those big teams playing another three big teams that you manufacture?
Yeah.
I don't see anything against this. Is there an argument against it? What would it be?
I was just thinking, I was going to ask you, would you in Port Leash start complaining if South Leash started winning games, or do you know if you started losing out to them because they're combined with whatever amount of clubs?
You probably would, but you can't say that it's a good idea then if they start beating you, start complaining about it. I don't know.
You'd have to do what Kerry did. Like, Kerry have two separate championships, obviously, so you have a chance to win the club championship and then you can win the county championship.
Considering I used to think Kerry's club championship was so complicated, it was stupid, they actually have the best, fairest club championship.
Yeah.
Don't they?
I think so. And if a regional team wins the county championship, then the club championship winner comes in.
So that's it. So if Port Leash are beaten in a county final, they'll go on through to Leinster, and that's probably the amount of club titles Port Leash have. They'll just go on into Leinster. that's probably their focus. Everyone's happy. Don't see any argument against this. So anyways, Clonmel Commercials, this is just semi-final, some news. So Mile Rovers beat Clonmel Commercials 2-7 to 11 points. Seamus Kennedy had kicked what looked like the winning point to put it 11 points to 1-7, only for Mile Rovers to score a late goal by Sean Carey. So they're knocked out. Peter Atchison is back for Clonmel Commercials, so he was back for the quarter final. Now he's in for the semi final. So Peter Atchison making all the difference.
He's only 28 as well. You know?
Is that all he is? I always feel he's older than that.
And he hasn't played since that semi final, 2016.
No.
Jeez, he'd be banging down his door. Come on, stay back in Tipperary instead of Dubai.
He's just back for a visit, is he? He's not back for good.
He's living in Dubai, I thought, so he's obviously maybe just back for club championship. No, don't quote me on that. That's me speculating.
You're just guessing here. Clonnegale, two more left. Clonnegale beat Bridgets. So that was the big match in Connacht, and that was the one that was on television. And in the start, in the first half, I was looking at the highlights of this. It was Kieran Lennon versus Senical Brideshow. Like, I mean, it was absolutely two proper Targamen full forward going toe-to-toe, kicking goals and points. It was absolutely brilliant. Must have been to watch at that time. Clonnegale ended up winning it easy enough, got the goals. St. Bridget's had been in the last 10 finals Bridges had been in, they'd won them. They hadn't lost a final since 2003, and they'd been in 10, so that's a fair old record that Clonnegale had to battle against. And Bridges had two men sent off, did Garrod Kniff and Garvin Dolan, who would be an old stalwart for Bridges. They were sent off late. So Clonnegale, big club, so they're back to the top and beat Bridges as well, which probably have to be at the top of the club football there.
Bridges probably endured the worst 2 minutes that any club has ever endured. It was a sending off they started off with. It was like an elbow to the head. Then Clonnegale got a goal. Then the keeper slipped on his arse in the kick out and got lobbed for another goal. This was all in like 120 seconds or whatever.
I saw Frankie Dolan complaining about the referee and stuff, and I was just thinking, like, a lot of time for Frankie, but when you're beaten by, like, what was it, 4-15 to beaten away. you know, like, I mean, I don't think referees, you should be really, like, does that, it's not going to claw back the 12 points you were beaten by.
Yeah, I think they got two men sent off, so they probably, and one of them was very late, so they just probably had that injustice fresh in their minds.
Yeah, he was saying Clonna Gael should have had lads sent off even before that, so maybe, probably would have had to see the game to whether to criticise him or not. Wicklow has caused themselves an awful lot of hassle, because the county final was a draw yesterday and did no extra time. And, you know, the hurling final's next weekend, and Rattenew have five players. We talked to Leighton Glynn on Thursday. They have five players that are part of the Glen Ely team who play Carnew next weekend. So then the football final's going to have to be the following weekend, which is 2 weekends time. The only problem is the Leinster club match versus Road is fixed for that Sunday. So what it looks like now is they're going to have to play the county final on the Saturday in 2 weeks and then play Rattenew the following day, which is not fair. Why would they not have just used their heads and went to both clubs and said, will you play extra time? Now, unless St. Patrick's knew Rattenew's situation and said, no, we don't want to play extra time. But then again, if St. Pat's think they're going to win this, they probably don't. Well, they won't want to play Road the next day. So I don't think it does either team any good. So you would imagine both teams would have been happy to play the extra time. But was it offered to them? It just doesn't make any sense. Play the extra time, get a flip. Because look at the situation they're in now.
This is where I'd have a bit of sympathy for, like, the higher ups in the GAA. Like, how have Wicklow let themselves get into this position? Wicklow, like, when were they out of both codes? Yeah. Wicklow, like, how are they struggling?
Well,
like,
that's the thing.
One draw has messed everything up.
That's the thing. And we talked about that, Conan, is that, I was reading a piece recently about it, that the April for club has actually made no difference. All the county finals, it's now the 15th of October, so there's more county finals on next week. So all the county finals are being played at the exact same time.
Yeah.
We have this situation. All these counties have been out so early. Look at Tipperary, only a county football semi-final stage. They were out in both codes, maybe the earliest they've ever been out in both codes, and nothing's changing with these counties. And I was saying that last Thursday, the GEA always seem to get the criticism here. At all the problems I can see within the GAA, whether it be discipline, whether it be fixtures, are individual county boards.
Yeah.
Overspending on county managers. Paying county managers. Look at all these things. Look at all these things that are issues within the GAA, and it's county boards that are completely complicit with all of them.
How did they come up with these fixtures and then not realise, Jesus, if we have one draw here, we're in a bit of bother? Like, you know, like, it's Wicklow, they could have done it ages ago. We'll have a bit of sympathy with Dublin, who you're playing until the very end. All the time.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's so consuming. They have everybody training so much, so they can't really be with their clubs. But in this situation, there's a team who's out probably since July or June, maybe. They could just play their championship in the summer when everybody says they want to play.
Yeah.
But they still wait until October.
Yeah. Makes no sense. Right, up next, we'll talk to Colm Spillane.
I'd never be allowed to go off and eat a heap of shite like him and go off a slob or whatever. Like, I was always doing a bit.
All I remember is I thought I was going to get clobbered on the way in there. I threw the ball up in the air. I don't know, it was pure luck, no, in fairness. Pure luck. It's fucking bullshit, have you seen yourselves?
Alright, so Imokilly retained their Cork senior hurling title yesterday, and Colm Spillane, Imokilly player this year, joins us on the line now. Colm, how's it going?
Not too bad, Willie.
How were the celebrations last night?
They were good, yeah. I suppose I wasn't there last year, so it was my first year obviously winning a senior medal, and yeah, it's obviously very very nice medal to have. We certainly enjoyed ourselves last night. We went to Yall, we went to O'Ballincorrig and Yall, and then we ended up in Cork then last night, so yeah, it was good old crack.
Right, because I was going to ask you, where does an area team with 19 clubs to choose from go to celebrate? Like, is every club trying to go, come on, we'll go back to our clubhouse, or what's that conversation
yeah.
like?
Yeah, well, Seamus Handy's the captain, and he's from he's from Eaters, but it's kind of beside Yore, so I suppose it's kind of captain's pick. So we went to Farrell's and Yore. I think that's kind of a traditional pub when they won the counties 20 years ago. I think they went back there as well. So
right.
I suppose it was the kind of combination of Harnady and the kind of tradition to go back to that place.
Right, okay. Park. So Harnady, he played the captain's card and got you back there. Come here, because your club is Castle Lions, and this is your first year playing with Imokilly. So you're obviously relegated from senior last year.
No, I wasn't. I was playing at UCC in the club championship. I was in UCC up until last year, so I was playing with them. Join UCC Earl Loudon Club Championship in Cork. So I actually played with McKinley when I was minor, before I went to UCC.
Right.
When I was in school, and then I played with UCC in the senior championship last year. So I was. That's why I didn't have a. I wasn't with McKinley last year.
Okay.
I'm on scholarship at UCC.
Ah, that's
you
it.
Used to play there, yeah.
Right. So you chose UCC because you were on the scholarship, so you just couldn't. Ah, okay. So Castle Lyons has been intermediate for longer.
Well,
than that.
Well, we were senior. It's been intermediate for a long time. We were senior, I think. Geez, I suppose 10 years ago now when we got relegated.
Right, okay.
So,
and so like, I mean, I presume McKinley then is similar to UCC then, obviously. Like, so it's different players from different areas and different clubs trying to come together as a team.
Yeah, it is. But, it's probably easier with McKinley because, well, obviously people are a bit more mature and you have more experience out there. Even this year, like, it was very kind of, a very good setup, and you fellas kind of the core of the team were together with the last 4 or 5 years, really. And like a few of us kind of just myself and Bill Cooper, now we kind of added in this year, Shane Hagerty, a few more. So we just kind of slot into the team. And in fairness, it was very good setup and very experienced. You know, in fairness, it is. It wasn't like UCC is a bit different because your lads are in college and they're playing fit and they're playing different counties, and it's kind of tougher, you know, to get fellas together, really.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, at what stage of the year then does McKinley start training? Because you all have your own clubs to train with and play championship with first. So, at what point do you come together?
I suppose there's not much training at that. Well, obviously, the kind of lads involved with Cork wouldn't really be training at all, and we wouldn't be able to. But Fergal Condon, now he's the manager in charge. In fairness, he's excellent to have challenge games. Like, so it's mainly, I think last year they played something like 25 challenge games or something throughout the year, so it's mainly challenge games and lads just come along and play them, and then coming up to championship then you might train maybe once or twice at the start of the year, and then with the last kind of 6 weeks or something, it's been training the whole time, like during the latter stages of championship. But fellas can't, obviously, because people are still involved with their clubs too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So I'd imagine early in the championship is the most vulnerable McKinley would be, while, you know, you're trying to get things together. Would that be fair enough? But as you get on in the championship, you get this kind of club kind of spirit going.
Yeah, it would be. And you have to kind of play preliminaries to get out. So it's two from the division in colleges, only two get out, and it was ourselves in UCC. So I think we played a division, and I think maybe it was Carrie Down or someone, and then we played CIT. So, yeah, and I don't think we had any training done. Well, certainly, any lads, I didn't have any training done with McKinley before that. So that's probably when you are the most vulnerable, and later on, you get kind of fellas together a bit better.
Yeah, because I was reading, like, I mean, these divisional teams, like, McKinley look so strong. But then I was reading that only 7 county titles have been won by divisional teams. So, like, I mean, it's not like these teams are dominating or anything like that. Like, I mean, it's the opposite.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like, I think this was McKinley's 4th championship ever. And obviously last year was 3rd. And 20 years ago in 97, 98, they won the double again. You the likes of, I think the Emerald Sutton was there, Don O'Clough, Timmy McCarthy, Joe Dean,
Brian Corcoran,
kind of fellas. But all the clubs in East Cork didn't, a lot of them went up senior, so that's probably why McKinley wasn't as strong. But it's just the last couple of years there's just been a good kind of crop of players. I suppose East Cork would always be a good hurling division anyway. We always massive into hurling and stuff like that, so it's just been a good crop of players the last 4 or 5 years. And in fairness, like, Fergal has to take a lot of credit for kind of organising those challenge games and just keeping the things ticking over throughout the year, because it's obviously very difficult.
Yeah,
so I certainly wouldn't envy him trying to keep things going throughout the year, like,
Yeah, exactly. And like this year's county final, obviously, geez, again, it gets this is like very complicated stuff. So you're with UCC, you're Castle Lyons, you're in McKinley, and to really the plot thickens even further that you beat Middleton, which is in East Cork, in the final. So, like, I mean, that must have been a huge rivalry. So they're the big town in East Cork, and they're the senior team. And you're all probably
We're all the intermediate junior clubs, and I suppose Middleton would be they're the kind of best team in East Cork, and always would have been, I suppose, stars in recent times. They'd be East Cork as well. Glanmire got a bit bigger, so yeah, we would have been like playing Middleton underage, and I suppose they would have kind of been beating everyone. They would have dominated East Cork really themselves, and Sarsfield, the two of them, like, have just much bigger peak, obviously, in bigger towns compared to smaller villages. But yeah, so it was interesting to kind of, because Middleton are literally smack bang in the middle of Immokalee, so they were getting it from all sides, actually.
So, like, I mean, they're obviously the cocky team in your area, and then you're able to join together and beat the cocky team. Like, I mean, so, like, is that,
yeah,
clearly it must be a nice feeling to be able to beat them in the final.
Yeah, it was, I suppose. But look, obviously, like, I know the some of the Middleton lads well and stuff like that. But yeah, I think for the lads that live close to Middleton, I'd be a bit away from Middleton. It was very, I think, very sweet for a lot of them. Like, they were kind of saying afterwards, you know, this, even they were going to school in Middleton CBS, and I suppose Middleton were always the kind of the big dogs and stuff like that, and they always let people know. So I think it was sweet, definitely sweet for
the lads
to win to school with them and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, you were 2-11 to 1-9 up at half time, which is great scoring, and then Middleton get it back to 2 points. So, like, I mean, it's game on at that stage, and then you get two goals in as many minutes. Paddy O'Sullivan gets the first one. That was absolutely vital, and even fairness was plain sailing for you then. Is that fair enough to say?
What you said, the last point, sorry?
It was plain sailing then, really, for the rest of the game, maybe.
Yeah, well, I suppose we got the goals at vital times. I know goals are always important, but we got, I think Paulie scored one straight away after a minute, and then it was kind of, yeah, as you said, we brought it back to 2 points, and even Middleton had a bit of a win in the second half, so it really was kind of game on. But yeah, I think we kind of kicked up a gear, and in fairness, the lads, like, Paddy, he's very clinical, like, you know, he always watches in front of goal. He just has a knack of getting goals, like, and he always seems to turn up in the right spot and stuff like that. And Seamus as well, obviously, scored a brilliant goal in the first half.
Yeah, he did.
So, yeah, they were at that time, like, yeah.
So 10,000 people in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, so it must be a nice feeling to be, like, winning well in a county final in front of 10,000 people, because you know, with, I suppose, with 5 minutes to go, you pretty much would have known that you had it won. Maybe you'd be able to kind of relax and enjoy the moment.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's obviously brilliant playing Páirc Uí Chaoimh in front of a big crowd and stuff like that. But I think when you're, like, obviously I'm the full back line, so I was saying after the forward, they were like, oh, they were enjoying themselves the last kind of 5 or 6 minutes when we were up 9 points or something like that. But you can't really in the full back line, because, you know, the ball is going to come in, they're going to be trying to take you on and get goals. So I certainly wouldn't kind of switch it off. And even the way a game's gone this year into county with the big comebacks and stuff like that, you'd be kind of, that'd be in the back of your mind. So to be honest, I didn't really enjoy it until then, with the final whistle blew, then I kind of relaxed.
Yeah, maybe it was that you're burned from that Limerick comeback in Croke Park, maybe, that you're kind of once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah, I know. And and even throughout the year, like, just there was an awful lot of comebacks, particularly into county. I think Tipperary against us and Waterford, and there's been comebacks throughout the year, so definitely that was in the back of my mind. I didn't want to get this one slip.
Have you got over that Limerick game yet? Like, I mean, that you were home and hosed in that and just started going away from you,
yeah,
and you couldn't turn it back?
I suppose not really, to be honest. This was kind of a good, obviously nice to kind of finish the year and with a bit of silverware with Immokalee and win the county. But you think about it an awful lot, really, and so how close we were and the kind of position we were in. But look, I suppose it's just kind of, you just kind of use that hurt for next year, like, and bottle it up and just kind of use that as motivation that we're kind of that close, but yet so far away, I suppose. But it'll probably take it before we get going next year to really, really get over it, I think.
Yeah, what were you like? Did you watch the final, or do you find that too hard to watch, or what did you do for that?
No, I watched the final. I watched the final, right, but it's strange just watching the final, because it's kind of, you don't really want any of them to win. They're just kind of looking at it like hoping you were there. So, yeah, it's a strange one. But, I watched it, all right. But I know some of the lads didn't. Like, I think even Bill was saying there, he couldn't watch it. And I think Anthony Nash went away on holidays for it. He said he couldn't watch it. So it was a bit different. But, I watched it, all right. And obviously, you're kind of envious of Limerick lads in this year. Like, but look, fair play to them. They deserved it. They won it fair and square, like, so. But he would be envious of him, definitely.
Yeah, so you're Cork's main man marker now. Like, I mean, you mark all the big players in the game, Austin Gleeson, John Conlon, Aaron Gillan, all these fella. Like, I mean, you obviously enjoy that defending side of the game.
Yeah, I do, definitely. I suppose I was always a defender, like, growing up and stuff like that. And yeah, I do. I enjoy the challenges. Like, you play sport to be challenged, and marking the best players. I think it's always nice when you're kind of given the responsibility of putting on their maybe their best player or their danger man and stuff like that. And I definitely do enjoy the battles, and obviously some of them like you, some of them you win, and some of them you don't too. Like, so it's obviously you enjoy it a bit more when you play well. But yeah, that's the way it goes. You're not going to play top quality forwards every time you play. You just have to try. Play every ball
to
your best, right?
Yeah, no, that's it. And but like even the Cork style of play, like it must be a really enjoyable team to play on. Like you have license to completely break out from the full back line and give a nice little short stick pass, then get back onto your man. Like, I mean, you play a lovely style of hurling. You know that. Like, I mean, most people would agree that.
And like it comes down, yeah, it kind of comes down to, I suppose, work rate really. That when we have the ball, there's players moving so much in this. You know, you can kind of pick out passes. Like, there always seems to be a pass on or someone you can give it to, or you just drive it long and stuff like that. So yeah, it was definitely enjoyable, and obviously we're kind of given the freedom to express ourselves too. And I think it's the way like hurling should be played. And even the last couple of years, I think teams are playing like that, and that's probably why there's so many scores are becoming just so higher, because there's different systems that are probably suiting attacking play. And I think teams have really kind of learned to maximise point taking and scoring, and I think the high scores will be kind of there to stay.
Yeah, because
for
like
3 years anyway.
No, it will. But like, I mean, even from a cornerback's point of view, though, like, I mean, obviously years ago you get it and you'll turn it over your shoulder and you'll just drive it on down, which can you get a big cheer out of the stand. But like, I mean, you could be taken off for doing something like that. So like, even when you're under pressure, and like the way the forwards are tackling now, you still really are not supposed to be doing that clearance. So like, I mean, you really have to. Your skill levels have to be really, really high, even as a cornerback.
Yeah, they do, definitely. I think the kind of days of kind of men marking cornerback or fullback that couldn't hit the ball are kind of, they're gone really, because the way a team set up for puck out, you have to be able to take a short puck out, or else the wing back is going to be able to mark the wing back, and then half forward will be able to push way back out. So you have to be able to take a short puck out, you have to draw them on, you have to mob it, and obviously be able to deliver the ball in. And when you're passing the ball 20, 30 yards, like, you have to be very accurate too, or else it's going to break down, you know.
Yeah,
the way we play and the way teams play like that. So, but it's all we practice that now. If teams 10 or 15, 20 years ago kind of training the way we were training, like, they'd be doing too, I suppose. It was just different. It wasn't the culture. It was more driving the ball long, 50-50 ball, pulling the ball in the air, and it's kind of, it changed an awful lot, really.
Yeah, no, it definitely has. So you're 25 now. I have to be honest, last year, not being a hurling man, last year was the first time I had seen you playing, but you were highly rated underage, and then you had some injuries, and then did your crew shoot when you got in. Like, are all the injuries behind you now psychologically? Are you doing a lot of injury prevention? Like, I mean, you haven't been injured in 2 years now playing an awful lot of hurling.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, touch wood now, all the serious injuries are behind me. And I think, I suppose maybe I was getting injuries kind of even before I did my cruciate, my patella tendon in my knee, and I had different kind of legal injuries in my groin and stuff like that. But I think when I did my cruciate, I was really like, geez, I have to kind of figure out what way my body's working now, and what can I do to make sure I'm training, because like, if you're not training, you're not playing matches, you can't be improving. Like, and I was thinking, I always thought in my head, if I was available, if I could do 1 year that I wasn't injured, that I'd be able to make, I'd be confident I'd be able to make the Cork team. And so I suppose you just kind of, I spend more time doing stretching and mobility and prehab, and any injury I've ever had, I keep up exercises for kind of prehab on all of those. Like, so yeah, and then even in the gym now, it's all, what can I do to say become more durable, like become less chance of getting injury. And it's just being I suppose being aware of your body too, if you are tired. And I would go a year sometimes in training if I felt my hamstring was tight or my knee was starting to feel a bit funny, like I would kind of step out. And I'm definitely good at that the last 2 years, but I know when my body isn't feeling right, rather than before. When you're younger, trying to get on the team and stuff like that, you kind of you go through the pain barrier, and maybe that's not the best thing long term.
Yeah, no, I suppose it's being secure in your position on the team, that you can just, and having good management that allows you to do that. I suppose you're a teacher as well, so during the summer, you on the Monday, you're able to do that bit more recovery than someone else might be able to.
Yeah, definitely. And there's no doubt that helps during the summer. But I suppose the flip side of that is that you have to be able to keep yourself busy, that you're not, you know, a full-time hurler during the summer. Like, you know, you have to have other interests and other things you're doing. Like, and like, we have a farm at home, so I do a bit of farming.
You don't have that worry.
No, I don't. So I like to keep busy as I can during the summer. And I wouldn't be, when I finish training, like, I kind of park it there, that I wouldn't be thinking about it too much, and then just do what I can, recovery and stuff like that. And
so
it definitely helps, I think, during the summer. Like, I think the lads, like, the training the whole time, going from work from training the whole time, I think it's tough, really, especially this year with the three matches in a row. I think that it definitely suited students and teachers who could kind of be a bit fresher during the week.
Yeah, no, definitely did. So you're back in work today, so fair play to you for going in after the county final, because I saw on your WhatsApp, I saw on your WhatsApp you were up pretty late last night there this morning.
Yeah, we are. But we're going to Boston in November for the Fenway Classic, so I can't take any more days off. But I know it's fine. I wouldn't be too bad. I mean, today after night out and stuff like that.
Okay.
Right.
And so you'll be meeting up with the lads after work, I'm sure. So you'll be counting down the time here.
Yeah, I will be. We'll be training after school there now. So and I'll meet up the lads then for a few hours.
All right. Listen.
See how they're getting on. I think some of them ran it fairly early, so.
I'm sure they were.
Yeah, they're holding up.
Well, you'll have to locate them first anyway, because they could be anywhere in East Cork.
Yeah, they could be. Yeah, that'll be the thing. You know, if they check the WhatsApp though and see where they are. They could be a few different groups anywhere around the county. So yeah, I'll have to figure that out.
Exactly, Colm. Thanks very much for taking the call.
Yeah, no bother.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up now, because there's no such thing as a media ban. We don't have a media ban.
Ah, you do?
No, we don't. But you didn't
let Shamey talk at a Hurley launch one day.
Yeah, but hold on a second now. He was at a Hurley launch, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
There's a media ban if he can't talk at that.
Absolutely not. I think you guys need to do your job. Don't depend on us guys for quotes, you know?
Okay.
Earn your living like the rest of us.
But if he's at a media day and he says to the media that I'm not allowed to talk, then he's obviously on a ban.
Well, I think he's carrying a mixed message.
Performance of the weekend, Paddy Power performance of the weekend, and the first man up here is David Clifford. So he scored 2-4, missed a penalty. Poor penalty now by his standards, went bottom right with his left foot and dribbled it kind of wide, which is unlike him. But his team were 1-10-7 points down, Conan, and he scores 2 goals. Like, this is a fella who is he 18 or 19? He's 19. Is he 19 yet?
He was minor in 2017, so he was under 18 then. Well, probably just turned 18.
So he's 19. Yeah, so he's 19. He might not be 19 this year. I think I was reading that he's 19.
He's an under 19 this year.
He's an under 19. Like, it's incredible that he's just leading. He led the Kerry attack, and that, like, he's leading East Kerry, which, if you're leading the Kerry attack, leading the club team isn't as big a deal. But come at the hour, come at the man, 1-10-7 points down, and then Clifford flicks a goal, a high ball coming in. This is the great thing about Clifford, is that he's a beast of a man. Yeah. And he was flicked it over the goalie, then got another one, and it ended up being Dingle having to rescue the game with a point from Tom Sullivan at the very end to rescue him. But don't know what really we can add to David Clifford at this stage.
His last point is supposed to be even the best of them all. Mortimer Murphy, the sports journalist in Kerry, just tweeted about it, saying he can't get it out of his head. He was about 40 metres out, closed down by two men, and he just unleashed a skyscraper as he was falling backwards. It was like a basketball fadeaway, like
Jesus.
Michael Jordan.
Ah, brilliant. We'll see that tonight on TG Cahir, because they show all the highlights. So that's a great show from 8 to 9 tonight. Talking about unbelievable point kickers is Matty Ford. So he got one off the outside of his left. He got 1-6-1-4 from playing a county final at 39 years old. And I've always said Matty Ford is the best kicker of a ball I've seen, technique-wise, long-distance-wise, off left and right. Him and Maurice Fitzgerald, for me, would be out on their own of fellas who have that technique. Now, David Clifford is going to go into that category of just nonchalantly kicking balls from angles of 45 metres out. Like, I mean, it's incredible how they can generate that sort of power, especially kicking around the ball to curl it from right to left. It's not, you can generate that power often off the outside of your boot, but to curl it around from that distance out. It's like, how they can generate that, I don't know. But Matty Ford, like, he'd be completely of my generation, and he's been whacking them in for his club for a long, long time. Like, I mean, scoring some like 4 or 5, you know, on this kind of like 39. Again, his back is better. I thought this man was gone. I actually was thinking this man can't even play a round of golf. I just had it in my head. I thought he was the manager of that club, not like still banging him in.
I saw a clip from him, was it last year, maybe 2 years ago, and he scored 2-4 or something in one game. This was a league game, might have been a playoff of some sort. And it's just the way he's still winning ball as well. Like, he doesn't even need to be as fast or as sharp as he was. He just knows where to be and he goes for it with such aggression.
Yeah.
You're saying 39. It's not that long since you were 39, Willie. I mean, come on.
I can't even make the Portlaoise intermediate team. Never mind anything else. Talking of Portlaoise, Ricky Maher. You like Ricky Maher now, Conan. So Ricky Maher was around the panel in 2010-11 when I was last with Portlaoise, around 2011, because I was with Parnells for 2 years before that. So I came back to 2011. Ricky was around the panel. Now, Ricky wouldn't have been in the mix to get onto the team at all back then. Oh. So then I got it. Then I came back this year and I was training away with the seniors and training away with them last year. And I remember saying to my father this year, geez, Ricky Maher's flying at these days. And father was like, ah, he's not. And he's like, geez, he is. Like, he's like a really good player up there now. And father was surprised, and I was really surprised as well. And he was man of the match in the county final yesterday, 2-2. So he's been a sub, come on to the team for the last 9 years that he's been on the panel, and nailed down a starting position this year for the first time, regularly starting, and then gets man of the match, scores 2-2 in a county final. Now, there's a lot to be said of Portlaoise dominating and not much of a story coming out of that, but Ricky Maher is a brilliant story coming out of it. And he was given the man of the match award and celebrated that over his head.
He did.
So it was lovely. It was lovely to see Ricky, really sound fella. I actually didn't even know he transferred from Stradbally at under 16 level, because Paul Catalan and Kieran Lillis were talking about him, and they were talking about how he's completely dedicated himself this year. And Ricky said it in an interview yesterday himself, that he'd been sick of being a sub, sick of coming on, and he's been doing sessions on his own. Kieran Lillis says that he's telling nobody about, he's just spotted up there. So this is like an inspirational kind of situation. And he got 2-2. His first goal was a soccer style goal, kind of played in, held off his man and put it into the bottom left corner, scored a good point from play early on in the game, and then got a second goal, which was, he had a few goals at it, but just a nice little story coming out of the county final.
When no one's watching, that's when champions are made.
Yeah, so just do it. Or what's that, is that a Nike ad or something, is it?
I think it's
a
Muhammad Ali quote or something like that.
Yeah, so that's
champions
it.
Aren't made under the lights, they're made far away from that or something.
Yeah, that's where Ricky Maher was made this year.
What a story.
Yeah, so that was nice. Dermot O'Connor, this is the second week in a row, this fella's just a machine at club level when Ballintober beat Castlebar. So he's all over the field again. He made the block down at the very end, and then just kind of does a somersault. Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's unbelievable
where he got the energy. But like, this lad obviously has an incredible engine, is an incredible, really, really good player, and this is sets up a brilliant Mayo County final now with Castlebar Mitchells, who you would have been fairly sure they would have beaten Briefy. Yeah. Now Ballintober are favourites for that as well, but this will be a really good final.
Briefy playing Aidan O'Shea in full forward as well, causing all sorts of havoc.
Yeah,
that's going to be very
moving him and around. Yeah, so they have Alan Dillon will be on the field, Killian O'Connor will be on the field, the two O'Shea's will be on the field.
You guys,
so
you're running the show.
These are all the Mayo management. The whole Mayo management team is going to be in the county final. So yeah, that's it. What's our man's name?
Jimmy Sloyan.
Jimmy Sloyan. Yeah, so he'll be at that giving out shite, I'd say. After I'd be expecting a good video from Jimmy after that county final. Senan Kilbride scored 1-6, he got 4 free, so 1-2 from play. And like I said, himself and Kieran Lennon were flying it in the first half, proper target men. But Senan Kilbride scored a goal, and it was absolutely thing of beauty. So he shaped up, opened up his body that he's putting it with his left foot, and it's, you've seen Senan Kilbride, he's more than capable of curling that into the far corner. He's got a lovely control over the ball off the inside of his boot. Instead of curling it in there, dummy soles it. You don't see that enough, and it works. But the composure, see, this is it. You often see players and they're one on one with the goalie and they shit it. Dempsey's wing forward yesterday, I can't think of his name, was true one on one against Graham Brody in the first half, and just blasted it at him, and Brody just saved it easily. You know what I mean? Just panic stations, but the likes of Senan Cabride, they don't panic in that situation. And this was, he was right on top of the goalie when he dummy soloed that. Just wonder when he decides to dummy solo that. You know,
he was very tight. Like, yeah.
Sometimes when, because I don't have that natural instinct going in on goals, I'll decide I'm going to go around the goalie when I nearly am straight through.
Yeah.
Like, and that might not be on as I get closer
to
the goalie.
To go a straight line
they,
past them.
They make the decision right at that split second, and it's the right one. And I think that's just a natural ability. I think that's a finisher's ability that's just there.
I think that, like, that sort of spatial awareness and having more time, like, that is the one thing I don't think you can teach people. Like, just these boys just seem to have far more time than everybody else, and they seem to make decisions every half second. You know, as you said, you decided 4 seconds ago what you're doing, but these boys just have a new picture in their head all the time. When he dummied that solo, as you said, he was right on top of the keeper. I thought the keeper had caught it or something, you know, and then suddenly he's come out the other side and caught the name of his right. Like, I it is the one thing you can be all the Ricky Mahers and you know, as much commitment and like working out on your own, and that's great. But this is just something I don't think you can teach people.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. Seamus Harden, he got 1-6. He's an unbelievable form for Imakili. So he's definitely, and got a smashing goal, whacked it into the top of the net from about 21 metres out. Nothing too surprising. Michael Hurley got 1-7 for Castlehaven. They have a pretty good team. They have Mark Collins, they have the two Hurleys, and they have the Cahalans as well. So they have won county titles. He got 1-7. So coming on the show here did him no harm whatsoever, did he? Did it, Conan? Like, this is an advertisement for, come on to the G-Hour here. Look, this media isn't going to do you any harm. Don't be like St. Vincent's and have a media ban at club level.
Unless you're Matty Ford, you'll just assume that he stopped playing long ago.
That's it. I remember actually Matty Ford, he had a bit of a hot head on the field. We played him in a Leinster semi-final, and I'd been annoying him. I'd been mouthing at him. He turned around and hit me in the face, and I fell on the ground. I thought he was going to get sent off. And he said something to me, he tried to pick me up, you know, as in,
get up.
yeah. Don't do this to me or whatever. But I wasn't getting up anyways. I wanted him sent off. He didn't get sent off.
What were you saying that made him so annoyed?
I thought, tell him he was crap. He's like one of the best players I've ever seen. because things weren't going well for them. You know a fella that you can kind of really annoy when they're losing. He's a bad loser because he's just such a great player. So they're nibble at
you're finished, Matty.
So, all right. So who are we going to give it to here, Conan? I don't know why I'm asking you, because you are not deciding this. I'm going to go with Matty Ford. We've been talking about him. So this fella's basically thought his career was over. Gets 1-6 and 1-4 from play as a 39-year-old in a county final. So very sorry to Ricky Maher, who's got the best story. If this was the X Factor, Ricky would be winning this, because you need that rags to riches. Oh, well, Matty Ford has the X Factor story too. Still this man going. Couldn't get out of bed. Out of bed with his back.
People 39. Thought he was finished.
People thought he was gone.
Yeah.
You know, one of the great players of his generation, all-star with Wexford, finished. What a comeback. Then the music in the starts kind of brightening up.
Yeah.
And, you
talking
know.
About how he once resorted to punching Colin Parkinson in the face. And now look at me.
This is a low point of my career. Right, listen, we're going to have to leave it there. That's all we have time for. So thanks to everyone for watching on YouTube. If you've watched to the very end here, and we'll talk to everybody on Thursday again. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today. Because, like, I'm heartbroken.
The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.